The text is the gospel reading, Luke 10, 38-42. Note, this sermon isn't about a lost gospel. The title is not the Gospel of Martha, but the Gospel for Martha. Historically, Martha is the loser in this battle of the sisters. I don't have stats, but I'll bet even when Martha was a popular name, it still wasn't as popular as Mary. Okay, most were named for Jesus' mother. Still, even though Martha is named first here, and in John 11, doesn't even name Mary at all, but just refers to her as Martha's sister, Martha is still second fiddle. No ladies' group I know is named Martha Mary Guild. It's always Mary Martha Guild. Let's rehear this text then. Jesus surely means to give Martha gospel. When a name is doubled like David does his beloved son Absalom, like Jesus does the city of Jerusalem when weeping over it, Martha, Martha is spoken with gospel intent. The gospel for Martha begins with the fact that Jesus does care. Martha senses as much. Her question in Greek expects a yes answer from Jesus. Lord, and notice she calls him her Lord. Lord, surely you do care that my sister has left me alone to serve. Oh, sure, you could take this as Martha sinfully assuming in her prayers that whatever she wants, Jesus does too. However, even if that's the case, the fact that Jesus does care is gospel. He cares about the birds of the air, the flowers of the field. He cares about dimly burning faith and more. Jesus at least cares as well as a sinful parent does. When a child has got themselves in a bind, is all worked up, even if it's their own fallenness has everything to do with it, we still care, don't we? 1 Peter 5:7 says as much of God. It directs us to cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Peter could be recalling that very passage. Martha declares this, that Jesus surely does mele, care, after referring to Jesus, the chief shepherd, in verse 4, Peter says in verse 7, he mele cares for you. So hurried Martha knows that much, and that much is gospel. Do we? I don't always. How about you? This is the story of the little girl coming crying to her daddy that she pinched her finger. He irritably says, well, what do you want me to do about it? She turns and walking away says, at least you could say, ouch. Jesus cares enough to say, ouch, about all our cares. In fact, Jesus cared all the way to death. This is the illustration. I asked Jesus how much he cared, and he spread out his arms and said, I care this much. And so was crucified. If he bore our transgressions, which he did, if he bore our griefs and sorrows, which he did, then surely he bore and bears our cares and anxieties. The gospel for Martha continues in the verse our sermon hymn is based on. This 17th century hymn has one of those tell-all German titles a mile long. One thing is needful, Luke 10, 42. Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, 1 Corinthians 1, 30. So, what is the one thing needful? Barclay, among other commentators, says that Jesus means only a one-course meal is all that's needed. Don't make a fuss. No, the one thing needful is Jesus and his word. But those commentators are on to something. The comparison here is between one and many. The Greek does not say Martha was distracted by all the serving, as your insert has it, but by many. And Jesus says Martha is anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen not what is better, but the Greek says the good part, singular. Under the influence of the King James, we see Martha cumbered about much serving. When I hear cumber, I think of weight, not number. The translation cumber translates a Greek word only used here in the New Testament. It was used by medical writers, but not that often. Dr. Luke uses it here, and it means to be drawn around away, this way, and that. It's passive and imperfect. Do you really need me to illustrate this for you? This is my Alabama song. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die. Even I'm in a hurry, and I don't know why. This is Jackson Brown running on empty. This is doing as Luther said Melanchthon did, sucking up cares like a leech does blood. I'm so distracted. I'm so pulled hither and thither by life, by politics, by family, by future. And Jesus does hear what the 2016 Visa commercial depicted, but Jesus does it in a good way. In that commercial, everything is moving, going, and driving till someone pays by cash, not credit. That halt is bad. Jesus' halt is like a martial artist for whom time stops and he can see everything in slow motion. Or it's like Robert Redford in The Natural, for whom everything but the strike zone is blotted out when he focuses. Jesus stops it all for us by saying, only one thing is needed, not the many. With college kids who've been infected with Jesus has a plan for your life, I've often used the 19th century story, The Lady and the Tiger. The king gives criminals a 50-50 chance by having them choose between two doors behind which one is a tiger, one is a lady. The God's got a plan for your life view has not one good door and one bad door, but literally 1,000 bad doors with tigers behind them, and just one that has God's plan. No, with God, one thing is needful, and having him, whatever you do is blessed. This is Augustine's statement, variously translated, love God and do as you please, love God and do as you wish, love God and do what you will. Jesus does not say Martha's rushing and working is sin, but it's got a claim of necessity on her that is false. Read Matthew 6. Using that same Greek word for worry that's used here, Jesus sets the one kingdom of God over all the worries of life, of food, of drink, of clothes, of length of life, or tomorrow. There's a movie where a coach holds up a football and he tells the young athletes, this is life. It ain't. And neither are the dozens of things turning me every which way but loose. Jesus there says there's just one thing needed. It's him. His life in place of mine. His damn death on my behalf. His word, his water, his body, his blood that marked me for everlasting life. Love that and do whatever. Because in loving that, you will do what is God-pleasing. The gospel for Martha continues. Jesus saying that one thing is needed and that will never be taken away implies everything else will. He's promising what Melville says a blacksmith can't. The blacksmith, says Melville, can smooth out all seams, ridges, and dents but one, those formed on the anxious brow. You and I, along with all who cherish Jesus' one thing needful, are assured that his words of promise and forgiveness, his water of rescue from death and the devil, his body and blood will never be taken away from us. Now that's good news. That's comfort. That's peace. But there is gospel for Martha here too. From Martha's standpoint, and mine too, when I'm worried and upset, anxious and troubled, it's real gospel to hear, even by implication, that all that is going to be taken away from me. This is a story I tell of saltwater fishing where the boy across from us is begging his dad to reel in the shark he just caught. The dad is reluctant, but the boy begs. Now, when you land a shark in a boat, It doesn't stop thrashing and biting. As the dad boats the shark, it's biting and snapping and twisting. I hear the boy frantically pleading, "Put it back, put it back." Worry is like that. Bring it on board the boat of your life and it does not stop biting. The answer to worry, biting, and snapping is Jesus throwing it overboard. Better yet, his cutting the line before you even land it. Does that sound too how-to for you? Consider this. What I've said by saying don't bring that shark worry into your boat is the message of this text. Don't focus on the myriad of circumstances that confront you, but on Jesus. We all refer to this as the story of Mary and Martha, but attention is riveted on Jesus by the text. Three times the Lord is mentioned. First and last have the article. Mary sat at the Lord's feet. Martha comes to Jesus saying, "Surely you do care," and it's the Lord. And finally, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered. Our closing hymn speaks of our dying with these words, "When thy voice shall bid our conflict cease." But we don't have to wait till we die for the conflict to cease. In Psalm 46:10, the Lord says, "Be still and know that I am God." Oh, happy day. Isaiah 40 promises that those that wait on the Lord get eagle wings sprouting out their backs to fly above it all. And they run not on empty, but without weary. In a sermon, Luther cited our 1 Peter 5 passage saying, "But let the Christian cast his heart and his anxieties upon God. God is strong to bear, and he can easily carry the burden. Besides, he's commanded that all this be put on himself. The more thou layest upon him, the more pleasing it is to him." You should know that Luther struggled with worry to the point of deep depression. After his moping around the house for some time, wife Katie put a funeral wreath on the door. Luther, seeing that, says, "Oh, on top of all our cares, someone has died. Who is it?" Katie responds, "By the way, you're fretting. God must have." It's not true that the line between Christian and not is worry. Walther, a 19th century American Lutheran scholar, said, "In reality, Christians suffer far greater anxiety, worry, and tribulation than do worldly people." No, the line between being a Christian and not is not worry. But the line between worry and not is Jesus. You know, it isn't you, because you're a surefire way for you to stoke worry is to tell yourself, "Stop worrying." It's the whole "don't think of a pink elephant" thing. There's two prayers of Luther I use. One is a sacristy prayer that's in my office. Luther prays, "Use me as thy instrument in thy service, only do not thou forsakest me, for if I am left to myself, I will certainly bring it all to destruction." The second is a bedtime prayer of Luther's. He prays at the end, "My dear God, now I lie down and turn your affairs back to you. You may do better with them. If you can do no better than I, you will ruin them entirely. When I awake, I will gladly try again." See, Luther was a Martha too, but the gospel led him to let his worries go in prayer. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.